나 수고가야 Personality of Godhead. Deva, God. Purva, previously. Sishtam, created. Samaria, by his own potency. Samvitya, withdrawn within himself. Kala, of time. Kalaya, by the portion. Kalpante, kalpante, at the time of annihilation. Idam, this universe. Ishvara, the supreme controller. Eka, alone. Eva, indeed. Aditya, without a second. Abhut, became. Atma-adhara, where herself is a reservoir and resting place of everything. Akila, of all potencies. Asraha, a reservoir. Translation and purport by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The Lord of the universe, Narayana, is a worshipable God of all living entities. Without extraneous assistance, the Lord creates this universe by his own potency. And at the time of annihilation, the Lord destroys the universe through his personal expansion of time and withdraws all of the cosmos, including all the conditioned living entities within himself. Thus, his unlimited self is the shelter and reservoir of all potencies. The subtle Prabhupada, the basis of all cosmic manifestation, is conserved within the Lord and is in this way not different from him. In the aftermath of annihilation, the Lord stands alone. As will be explained in verse 21 in this chapter, the Lord's independent creation and annihilation of the universe can be compared to the spider's creating and withdrawing his web. The word Eka, or one alone, is mentioned twice in this verse to emphasize that there is only one Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that all universal affairs, as well as spiritual pastimes, are conducted by his potency alone. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, this verse refers to Kadalala Vasai Vishnu, a Mahavishnu lying in the causal ocean. The words Atma Dhara and Akhilasya both indicate that Narayana is a reservoir or shelter of all existence. Atma Dhara indicates that the Lord's personal body is the shelter of everything. Mahavishnu is the plenary portion of Lord Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whose body expand the innumerable potencies that manifest the material and spiritual worlds. According to the Brahma Samhita, these innumerable worlds rest within the Brahma Jyoti, or spiritual effulgence, also emanating from the Lord's body. Thus Krishna is Ishvara, the Supreme Controller. Om Agyana Thurandasa Agyana Anjana Shnapya Chakshu Tamina Tismaya Shri Gurve Namaha. So here, Hare Krishna. So here we'll continue the discussion between Uddhava and Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that Uddhava, he was only interested in prema, in love for Krishna. He had no desire to hear anything else except for bhakti. But Krishna had one remaining desire that he wasn't able to fulfill. And his 125 years on the planet, his allotted time, is over. And that one desire was to bring this message of bhakti to the sages in the Himalayas, in the Bhagavad-gita. So he wanted Uddhava to be the messenger. But Uddhava wasn't interested in detachment or the path of knowledge. So Krishna, he inspired within Uddhava's heart to develop the taste for detachment. Because the only way these sages in Bhagavad-gita would accept the message of bhakti is if there was the spirit of detachment and knowledge included in that. So, as part of that, these teachings between Uddhava and Krishna, he recites, as we've been hearing for the last few weeks, this narration between Maharaj Yadu and the Avadhut Brahman. And the Avadhut Brahmana, he's explaining all of these different gurus. Actually, Acharya's explained that normally these gurus would be objects of our sense gratification. But this Brahmana was very elevated. And he saw everything that would normally be objects of sense gratification as his spiritual master. So, thus far, all of the gurus that we've been hearing about relate to the living entity, to the jiva. We heard about the sun and the moon and the earth and the water and the mountain and the deer and the elephant and the air raker. But all of these relate to us, the Atma, and realization of who we are, self-realization. But this verse and the next six verses, for the first time, this is the 23rd guru, we're talking about the nature of Krishna. And the analogy given is this, of the spider, that the spider creates the web within his heart and through the mouth expands this whole web of the creation. And at the time of annihilation, the spider withdraws the web in the same way. It's a beautiful analogy. And actually, this analogy was used by, there are four seed verses, right? Four seed verses in the Bhagavatam, which are in the second canto. And these seeds, when planted, sprout into the entire 18,000 sloka Srimad Bhagavatam. This is called the Chatusloki, the seed verses of the Bhagavatam. So, Narada Muni uses the same analogy to describe the nature of Krishna and the spider. He approached Lord Brahma and he asked Brahma, but first he prayed to Lord Brahma, saying, "You're the creator. There's nothing in this universe that's unknown to you." He compared, like, Lord Brahma, you know everything like a walnut in the palm of your hand, an amalaki fruit in the palm of your hand. And then he said, he was praising Lord Brahma that you are actually the spider. And from you, the red ball of creation emanates, and within you it's withdrawn. But then he had a thought. He said, "Wait a minute. Lord Brahma, he performed thousands of years of austerity. Why would Krishna, why would the Supreme Personality of Godhead have to perform austerity?" So he asked Mama, that I'm wondering, is there someone more powerful than you? And Brahma, his reply was, what you're saying is not untrue. Actually, I discover everything that's already been created. And then he narrates his history and his life. When he first came into being, or when he was first aware of his own existence, excuse me, when he first came into awareness of his own existence, he looked in all four directions, and he couldn't find out the source of his existence. And it said that when he's looking around everywhere, that's how he got his four heads. And then he went down the stem of the lotus, he's trying to find out, where does this lotus come from? And he couldn't find out, he couldn't figure out where the lotus came from. So he came back to the lotus, and it's actually, in one part of the Bhagavatam explains that he actually left his body. And then he came back in his next life, and he heard the two syllables, tapa, which means austerity. And he understood it as an instruction to perform austerity. So he underwent severe tapasya, and meditation for 1,000 years, celestial years. And after this meditation, he saw Vishnu, and he saw within his navel the beginning of the stem, and he saw the lake in the navel of Lord Vishnu, and he saw the white bedstead and Seshanag, he saw Vaikuntha, he saw the spiritual world, he saw Lakshmi, he saw all the associates of Narayana. And then he saw Narayana, he saw Vaikunthanath, he was so beautiful. And Lord Brahma actually went, Narayana actually went to Brahma, and what did he do? Does anyone remember? He shook his hand. Can you imagine shaking hands with Krishna? So he shook his hand. And some acharyas say he touched him. Srila Prabhupada translates it as he shook his hand. The Lord Rama, just being in the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was just so overwhelming. Tears were flowing down his eyes, and hairs were standing on end, and complete ecstasy. And so he asked the same question that Pariksit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami, the same question Narada Muni asked Lord Brahma. Brahma asked the same question to Lord Vishnu, that what is the mystery of this creation? Where does it come from? How do you create it? What is this mysterious nature of you? So Krishna speaks these four seed verses, from which the entire 18,000 verse Bhagavatam sprout is grown out of. So now everyone has to leave. I'm so sad. So these chaturstoki, these four verses. The first verse says that I am everything. The second verse, Krishna says, that which is not me is Maya. So he essentially contradicted himself, that I'm not everything. And in the third verse, he says, I am everything and I'm not everything. He simultaneously one and different. And actually, the Chaturshloki in the Bhagavad Gita, the first verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Pramavamattaha Sarvam Pramavartate, Krishna says essentially the same thing, that I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. They emanate from me. So what does that mean? That everything, the source of everything is Krishna. But everything is not Krishna, and yet everything else and everything is Krishna and not Krishna. So essentially it says the same thing. But in both chaturstoki, Krishna he explains, the next thing he explains is what is the relationship between the living entity and Krishna. And in the Bhagavatam, it says that you should search out after Krishna in all time, in all circumstances, both directly and indirectly. And Krishna says in the Gita, Matchitta Matkata Prana Bodhyanta Parasparam, that the devotees, they derive so much enjoyment, so much satisfaction, so much deep fulfillment, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. And after, actually, the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna goes on to explain how Krishna reciprocates with his devotees. He says that, and this is a really profound point, that Krishna is actually the doer. We're not the doer. Krishna provides us all of our material and spiritual needs, even the ingredients of our own service. But even more deeper than that, so if you think about this prayer, when we're chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, Hare Krishna, I want to chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So when we chant the Maha Mantra, what are we praying for? My dear Lord, please engage me in your service. I was just thinking about this the other day. That we don't pray, Krishna, please help me in my service to you. We say, Krishna, please engage me in your service. So the implication of that is so deep. What we're saying is that I am yours to be engaged, right? I belong to you. I am yours. And why am I yours? Because Krishna, he's attached to us. He loves us. Right? When we say, that's my car, that's my computer, or this is my watch, why do we say it's mine? It's because we're attached to it. So Krishna is actually attached to us. So, going back to the teachings of the Avadhut Brahma, very interestingly, Krishna, the Avadhut Brahmana, the guru after the spider is wasp. The wasp. The wasp guru. So, what did we learn? What did the Avadhut Brahmana learn from the wasp? So the wasp, he caught this weaker insect in his nest and trapped him inside his nest. But his weaker insect was really afraid of this wasp. So constantly was meditating on this wasp, day and night, day and night, day, just meditating on this wasp in total fear. And it was explained in the Bhagavatam that the weaker insect actually assumed the body of the wasp without even leaving his own body. So this is the power of absorption. So in the Bodhicitta Sloki, the relationship of the jiva and Krishna is given, and even here in the teachings of the Dubhavana, the relationship of the jiva and Krishna is given. And that relationship is absorption, complete absorption. And actually the nature of love is absorption, constantly thinking about Krishna, day and night, just meditating and meditating, just constantly absorbed in Krishna. And this is the real meaning of oneness. This impersonal conception that we're all one, the actual real meaning of oneness is that that Krishna is constantly absorbed in thoughts of his devotees, and his devotees are constantly absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. So this is the real meaning of oneness. And in our scriptures, there's so many examples of absorption. I was thinking about some stories of devotees that were so absorbed in Krishna, the king of Krishna. Since we don't have much time, I'll maybe skip that one. So there's a Srila Prabhupada in the Nectar of Devotion. He tells a story of a brahmana in South India who went to Srimad Bhagavatam class, essentially, and he heard that Vaishnava activities can be performed in the mind. So from that day on, every day he would take bath in the Bhagavatam river, and mentally he would dress the deities, he would clean the temple room, he would perform arati, he would collect water from the Godavari temple. And he did this every day, for years and years and years. And then, one day, he had a desire to offer kheer to Krishna. But he wasn't satisfied because he wasn't sure if the kheer was hot, too hot for Krishna. So he put his finger in the kheer and his meditation book. Does anyone know about his meditation book? Yes. He burned his finger in his meditation. And he burned his finger externally also. His absorption was so real that his finger actually got burned. And Krishna, who's observing this whole thing from Vaikuntha, what did he start doing? Started laughing. He said, "Ah ha ha, my devotee, so sweet." And immediately he sent an airplane, and his devotee boarded the airplane and took him right back to Godhead. So this is really such an important point. When Krishna left Vrindavan, he left Vrindavan, but at the same time it states that he never took a step outside of Vrindavan. So what does that mean? That means when Krishna left Vrindavan, the Vrajavasis, whenever they remembered Krishna, they looked inside their heart and Krishna was there. In that absorption, the absorption was so intense, it was actually even more intense than when Krishna was physically present. So that absorption was so intense that Krishna actually never left. So this is the power of absorption in Krishna. In the second canto, there's the famous verse, Akamo Va Sanokamo Va Moksha Kamo Va Adida. Even if you're not absorbing love, if you simply focus your attention on Krishna, with material desires, without material desires, even if you want liberation, you want to merge in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, you should meditate on Krishna. And let the speak of that. Even if you hate Krishna, and you want to kill him, like Kamsa and Sishupal, then you achieve liberation. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained how the common understanding is that Shishupal merged with Krishna. But actually what really happened is Shishupal, after he got his head cut off, his soul went into Krishna's body and stayed there until the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty, this Moshalalila at Prabhaskshetra, and he returned back to Vaikuntha with Krishna. So, this absorption, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gives a lot of knowledge and perspective on this absorption. He spent one of his most unique contributions to the world of bhakti is this concept of drink deshya vichara, the seer and the seen. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that there's two darshan. There's Jagat Darshan and Goloka Darshan. Jagat Darshan is where we see ourselves as a center of existence. And everything around us are objects of our sense gratification. Objects of our sense gratification. Gorupa darshan is the exact opposite. I am an object of Krishna's sense gratification. Everything around me are objects of Krishna's sense gratification. That Krishna's happiness is my happiness. Krishna's distress is my distress. And if Krishna enjoys putting me in the greatest distress, that greatest distress is my greatest happiness. And this is such a unique contribution, Gaudiya Vaishnavism. This alone is the most unique contribution in the world of bhakti and spiritualists, and spiritualism all over the world. It's this tribhdishya vichara. This is what it means to be absorbed. So, in the spirit of absorption, the message I have to this graduate, the end of this year, some of you are graduating, is that out there are unlimited weapons of mass distraction. There's unlimited ways to be distracted from our service in Krishna consciousness. Yeah, I actually have one too. But the thought that I'm leaving you all with is that go focus on what inspires you in your service, in your devotional service to Krishna. And don't stop there, but go deeper and deeper and deeper in that service. And remain absorbed. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would say things that would jolt the listener. That would wake him up and be like, whoa, what just happened? You know, he just I can't believe he just said that. spins your head. And the reason why he did that is because he wants us to go beyond a superficial understanding of Krishna consciousness. He wanted his disciples to go deeper and deeper and deeper. In his biography, I found some quotes of examples of this, of some things that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that would jolt you, that seemed to contradict what you thought you knew. Others worship Radha due to her connection with Krishna, but we worship Krishna only because of his connection with Radha. Hiranyakashipu better proclaimed the glory of Nrsimhadev than did Prahlad. Better, this is a famous one, better to dismantle the temple and print books. I have not come as a contractor, but as a peon of Sri Chaitanya Deva's Vani. The neophyte devotees ringing the temple bell is more beneficial than opening innumerable hospitals. Of course, we have to understand that these quotes were spoken, in certain times, places, and circumstances to get devotees to think about what is it that we have? What is this Krishna consciousness? It's not mundane. It's otherworldly. This has nothing to do with material consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Would anyone like to say anything? Thank all of you for listening.
Those quotes, we have to give a little history, otherwise it will confuse people.
No.
They sell the temple and distribute books. That's not exactly. Because the sannyasis are fighting for their personal room, the marble, and that's not proper. So there is a history behind why he quoted those. In Nectar of Instruction, Srila Prabhupada also gives a chronological step-by-step how to become fully absorbed. And he gives on the that state, that very nicely, that so we can summarize in Nectar Devotion that how Prabhupada's that English word, somehow or other, if you can place continuous relationship on your mind, that is called remembrance. So somebody will say, where this relation is coming from? So I like the way Prabhupada put it. He said, jama, niyama, asana, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, dhruvana, smriti, samadhi. In order to come to the samadhi stage, eight stage, one has to follow sadhana bhakti. Every day must chant, must follow rules, regulation. This is what jama, niyama. And then must literally devote to this program that we do every day. If they do it, then there will be a time when they will be able to capture the inner essential relationship with the Lord. Something will be captured in the heart. When that contemplation will be the reflection, capturing in the heart, here, there, they're putting love. At one time it will filled up, the heart will be filled up with Krishna consciousness. That time it will be dhruva anasmriti, uninterrupted meditation. Then come to that absorption. I mean, we want to be, but how do we start? Where do we start? So I like that way of the breakdown. He said, practice every day. We must hear every day. Bhagavatam class like we are giving, must chant every day, must follow this regulative principle. If we want to be completely inabsorbed. Otherwise not possible. Mind will not allow.
Thank you, Guru. Thank you for a nice class. Notion that we're originally servants is something I've always had a hard time understanding because it's so counterintuitive from how society is and all that. So there's an analogy that I heard once which helps me a little bit, I just wanted to share it. Once there was this experiment that was made with an audience where they built a bicycle that was built backwards. You had to ride it backwards. You had to pedal backwards. If you turn left, it would go right. And they invited anyone from the audience to come up on stage and to ride this bike across the stage where someone was standing with $100 bill, and they could have $100 if they got to the other side. No one could do it because if you know how to ride a bike, it's just completely counterintuitive. And it took one person 8 years of practice to manage to ride this bicycle and to master it. So I thought, you know, I think it was a chicken and the fugu who shared that with me, that it's a good analogy that from being exposed in this material world, we're so conditioned to think that we are the ones to be served and to serve our senses and all that. And it takes, like Prabhu's just saying, it takes a lot of daily practice for years and perhaps lifetimes to get to that understanding that we really are Krishna's servants and that is our constitutional position.
Thank you. Where can we find a picture of the bicycle?
Google for asking.
Something quite similar to that is, I've noticed when you're shaving maybe the back of your head and you're using a mirror, your hand always goes the wrong way. So that, I don't know if anybody else has noticed that when you're shaving with a mirror, you go one way and it goes the other way.
So we can end here. Gantra Shri Bhagavatam Ki Jai.